Well, I wanted to talk to you today a little bit from really what is my life verse. And I debated. I debated talking to you about the verses that led me to Christ. But I wanted you to see a bit of my heart of what it is that really winds my watch. I love Scripture. And I love what God can do. So I wanted to talk to you today about stretching your imagination. And so I thought I'd begin with these words. I have a dream. It was Martin Luther King Jr. who shared his dream for America in a message delivered on August 28, 1963. That message was only 17 minutes long. But the words delivered that day echo down through the corridors of time. They actually compare that message and believe that message is one of the best messages ever put together, and a very short message and a very full message that had much to convey to people. Fact is, I can still hear his voice. I have a dream. I can't imitate it well, but I can hear it. And I will tell you, I have a dream. I dream of a church that is unleashed to reach this culture for Christ. I dream of families that stand side by side in the cause of Christ, because we're in a culture where families no longer get along. We are in a culture where families are divided and we're crumbling. The very fabric of our society is crumbling. I dream of a day when all will have the privilege to hear of Jesus and then believe in Jesus. And silly me, I dream of a day when America can once again be called a Christian nation. Because that's where we need to be. And so I pray. I ask the Lord of the harvest to send workers into his harvest field to win more people to Jesus. I ask for more churches that are unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. One of the things I told your board, I said, you need to understand that I'm all about Jesus. I am all about Jesus. But then I wonder, for what do you dream? What makes you dream? Do you dream of making the final point that decides the victory in your favor? Maybe you're a basketball fan. Maybe you like football. Maybe you like soccer. Maybe your dream is to say, oh, I wish I could just be that person. You know, we have the Final Four coming up. That's a basketball term to help some who don't care, and I understand. But some people out there going, oh, I wish I could just be that person. At the very last second just goes, and it goes through. And everybody would go, oh. Do you dream of getting a job where you can make tons of money? Because that's where some people dream. They say, you know, if I could just add more money. Realized years ago, the cost of living is your income plus 10%. Do you dream of having popularity? Do you wish that when you walk in the door, everybody just went, oh, they're here. The party can start. Do you dream of having great power that when you speak, everyone listens? Now, you have to understand, this illustration, younger people won't get. Kind of like E.F. Hutton. See? Only half the crowd laughs. I get that. But wouldn't it be neat whenever you spoke up that everybody looked at you and said, wow, we need to be quiet because somebody is telling us something we need to hear. Or do you dream? Do you dream of Jesus and what could happen if his children and his church was sold out for him? You know, I don't know how many people are here this morning. I haven't taken time to count. But it fascinates me. The early church began, and we always say with 12, but technically 11. 11 people turned the world upside down. If 11 people turned the world upside down, what could this church do for Jesus? If everybody gets on board, it would be massive, and it would be life-changing, and it would be earth-changing, and the world would never be the same again. Well, I think God calls us to dream big dreams for him. And so I want to invite you to open your Bibles with me. I use a New International Version. They were asking me just the other day again which one I prefer. This is not my favorite version, so you understand. I use it simply because it's the easiest one to understand and read. And I want to be able to reach people, and I want them to understand what Jesus has to say. It's Ephesians 3, verses 14 through 21. It's actually verse 20 where I'm going to somewhat pitch my tent, if you will, because that is my life verse. And I invite you to follow along in your Bibles, or you can read up here in the PowerPoint, and that will help you out. It's Ephesians 3, 14 through 21, and here's what the Apostle Paul writes. He says, "For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. And then I pray. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide, how long, how high, and how deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, and that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." My life verse. "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ever ask or we could ever imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Love this text. We're going to look at what God does for us. It's the strength that comes from his presence, the stability that comes from his love, and then what God will do through us, because he can do a lot through us. He expands our faith. He energizes our faith. So what does God do for us? You should think about it. The Apostle Paul actually has stopped here to ponder the spiritual riches that are available for those who believe in Jesus Christ. My most favorite book of all the Bible is the book of Ephesians. And I like it because it says we're rich. We are rich in our relationship with Jesus Christ. Love that book. Love that book. I love to know that I have the riches of Christ available at my disposal. He recognizes how God is able to do so much in and through his children. He actually has gotten done focusing on the fact that when you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you become a child of the King. If you know Christ, you're my brother. If you know Christ, you're my sister. I think that's what's so cool in the family of faith, is we're a family. Family. We become joint heirs with Christ. I don't understand that. I'll tell you that. I don't get it. But all I know is that's got to really be cool, because look what Jesus gets. And we're an heir with him. And then he stops to pray. Paul prays that all believers will grasp what he already knows to be true, because he wants believers to experience several things, as I understand it in this text. First of all, strength that comes from his presence. Kind of an interesting sidelight. Verses 14 through 19 are one sentence in the Greek text. One long sentence. Paul does a lot of this. A lot of it. And I'm going to be disruptive and break it into two parts. Well, Paul's prayer in here, as I can tell, is twofold. It says, "I pray out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith." What I want you to catch is that power, his presence, enables you to live for Jesus. You can have victory because Christ lives in you. He says that he sent his Holy Spirit to live in you, to change you from the inside out. That power goes to work in a Christian as we allow the Holy Spirit access to every area of our lives. And I put up a picture up here of a stick of dynamite, because the word for power here is that dunamis power. Is it popping up? Oh, it didn't pop up. Oh, you got to catch up. Keep going. 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 Yes, it was. Keep going. I thought you knew. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. We're going to get there. Go. You guys are speed readers, right? Go. One more. I think this is it. Aha! We're getting there. Close. One more. One more. Yes! See? No, wasn't that explosive? All right. There you go. See, I warned him. I warned Tom. I said, man, I get going, buddy, and you got to try to catch up. I always pray for the poor people running PowerPoint because I just take off like you can't believe. So that's all right. Here's what's cool about that word for dunamis. It's where we get like dynamo. It's where we get the word dynamite. It's that explosive power of Jesus living in you. It's explosive. Here's the deal. We can live for him, be effective for him because he is at work in us. The text tells us, and there's so many good words in here, but that Christ is to dwell in our hearts. The word for dwell is katoikeo. It means to be at home in. Here's what that means. Christ is to feel at home with us and in us. And so my question comes down to this. Does Christ feel at home in you? Does Christ feel at home in you? I have lived in many houses. Not every house is a home. It's a big difference. And I really wonder, is Jesus at home in you? Is he comfortable with the words you say? So the words that you use, would Jesus, if he was standing next to you, would he say, "All right, I like those words. Great words. Excellent words. Words that encourage. Words that build up." What about the actions you do or the thoughts that run through your mind? Would Jesus be impressed? And yet we're supposed to roll out the red carpet and say, "Jesus, would you come into my life and change me from the inside out?" We get strength from his presence. Your strength is to be found in his strength. His presence gives you the power to live, to accomplish great things for him. But here's the challenge again. Have you allowed him access? And then, do you give him full access? For the last 15 years or so, my wife has had the privilege of, there's a company called New Covenant Productions where she's done concerts down here in Omaha where she recruits volunteers. And one of the things that we have to be able to get backstage is known as a full access pass. That's how you get back there. The question I have for you as a believer is, does the Holy Spirit have full access to all of your life? Or do you have parts? You say, "All right, Jesus, I want you everywhere but here." And our tendency is actually to limit God, to limit Christ, and say, "You know what? I love you, Jesus, on Sundays, but I don't like you around on Mondays. I love you, Jesus, when I'm in church, but dear Lord, getting to church." Remember one time when we were doing our first church plant, we actually had big bay windows like this, but you could see the parking lot. We were standing by the back windows, and someone came in the parking lot, kind of turned on two wheels, even though they were driving a four-wheel car, slammed into the parking lot, slammed on the brakes. He got out. She got out. Okay. They came walking into the church, and it is like there was a miracle of God. And these two walked into the church, and suddenly, like, boop. "Hey, good to see ya. We love ya. So good to be here." And yet, many times, we don't give God full access. We don't. We say we're Christians, but we don't live the faith. And we need to be real. Well, you can find strength in his presence and stability that comes from his love. We're supposed to be rooted and established or grounded in his love for us. Now, the word for rooted, I kind of like Greek and Hebrew terms sometimes. The word for rooted is ridzao. Isn't that fun? It's just kind of a fun one to say. It's ridzao. I don't know. They've got a lot of good Greek words. It It's just like if you ever want a great word, is the word kino. Doesn't have anything to do with the message, but it's just a great Greek word. It means empty, void. So what do people go play? Kino, which is empty and void. Isn't that fascinating? They would name kino after a Greek term, which means empty. I suppose the goal is to empty your pockets. I don't know. But anyway, I'll come back to my own track here. Rizzato means to strengthen with roots, to render firm, to fix, establish, to cause a person or a thing to be thoroughly grounded. And so what he's asking is that we are totally, totally grounded in Christ. Verses 17b through 19 says this, "And I pray that you being rooted, Rizzato, and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ." It's a four-dimensional love. "And to know the love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." And so we're supposed to be rooted in his love. When we as believers begin to grasp the extent of God's love for us, we change. We change. We're more willing to serve. We're more willing to give of our talents and of our time. We're more willing to share of our finances. And the more we know, the more amazed we are. The more I know about Jesus, the more fascinated I am. And the more I don't understand grace. And I'll always have people come up to me and say, "Well, I'll explain grace to you." But the more that you understand grace, the less you understand grace. When we're rooted and established in his love, it drives us to act, not forgetting what he has done, but instead forging ahead. And finally, I get to the spot I've been looking forward to. This is what God does through us. Christ wants to expand our faith. He wants to stretch our faith. And I'm going to diverge off of NIV, and I'm going to go to my favorite text, if you will, or version, I should say. I have aversions to some versions, but this version I do like. It's actually New American Standard. This is how I memorized it. And here's how it's worded. And by the way, if you want to know if when I die and go to heaven, these are the verses that will be addressed at my funeral. I've already written my funeral message. I know you go, "Really?" Yes, really. I do plan on dying. And I want to make sure, yeah, and I want to make sure the gospel is shared. Okay? I've been to way too many funerals where it's not. It says, "Now to him who is able to do exceeding, abundantly, beyond all that we ask or think, according to that power that works within us." This is known as the sevenfold amen of God. The word amen, fascinating word. According to Strong's Greek and Hebrew dictionary, might be geek too, don't know. Anyway, that amen is the most remarkable word. It was transliterated directly from the Hebrew into the Greek of the New Testament. It's like a word for baptism. The Greek word is baptizo. All we did is we didn't know what to do with it. We couldn't translate it. So he said, "Okay, we don't know what to say with this word, what it means. So we're just going to go B-A-P-T-I, and that's exactly what we did with baptism. It's the same thing to do with amen. So it's transliterated directly from the Hebrew into the Greek of the New Testament, then into Latin, into English, and many other languages, so that it is practically a universal word. It's been called the best-known word in human speech. The word is directly related, in fact, almost identical to the Hebrew word for believe, which is hamam, or faithful. Thus it came to mean sure or truly, an expression of absolute trust and confidence. So when you get done with this text, you go, "This is the God of the Bible that I trust." Now to him who is able. God has the power and the ability at his disposal to act. God is able. Second part, now to him is able to do. God does act, doing what he's able, which is unlimited. I've known people all my life who have incredible ability but never measure up to it. God measures up to his ability. Now to him is able to do exceeding. And I like how this text gets as you get further along. God does things that are above and beyond. Now to him is able to do exceeding abundantly. So God does things that are above and beyond and are more than necessary. He does the extraordinary or extraordinary, however you want to pronounce it. And this is what our God does. To him who is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond. It means God's acts are even beyond what is already above and beyond, so you can't even compare it. Don't worry, you're going to get really tired of me. You're going to know this verse before we're done. Not him who is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all. All. God's actions exceed any comparison. The good news about God is if you've got big problems, sometimes you have little faith in God. When you have a big God, problems of life are small. Now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all we could ever ask or think. God goes beyond our requests and even beyond what our thoughts can conceive. If I could challenge you today to do one thing, here's what it's going to be. It's going to be dream big dreams for God. Do you realize this text says that you cannot outdream him? You can't. He's able to do more than all that. God does this with the power that's already worked within a believer. The text uses superlative after superlative, and it still doesn't fully convey the idea. So we can rest in his power. It expands our faith as to what it is that God can do, which energizes our faith, because it says, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus, not through some, but through all generations forever and ever. And then those words, amen. When we begin to understand what we have in Christ, we cannot help but get excited for Jesus. Our faith is energized. And here's where the rubber meets the road. God is able. I want you to think about what it is you need to ask God to do in your life. And I'm going to start with you. Have you asked God to change you? Because God is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that you ask or all that you think. Are you struggling with a habit that only can be broken with his help? Maybe you sit out there and say, but I struggle with this and I know I can't overcome it. You are correct. But God can. Because God is able to exceeding abundantly beyond all that you could ever ask or all that you could ever think. Are you asking him to direct and redirect your thoughts, your speech, your actions, whatever it is? Because guess what? The God of Scripture is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that you could ever ask or all you could ever think. Have you asked him to change your family? Have you asked him to work in your mate or future mate or your children or your parents? Tell you something. Family isn't always easy. I know how it works. Some of you are sitting out there and saying, oh dear God, I wish you'd change my mate. What's really scary, Rob, is that you laughed. That's. I mean, the whole Vanna White routine was pretty good. I'm just leaving it right there. Yeah, I know. Yeah, yeah. He's got two check marks now, doesn't he? Yeah. Interesting. And you know what God does? God needs you to change first. Because here's what happens in relationships. When you change, your mate changes. And here's my prayer for you and your families. Realize that God is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that you could ever ask or all you could ever think. Some of you may have children that you say, I don't know what to do with these kids. Some of you have parents. So you look at your parents and say, oh, dear Lord, and these are my parents. No amens from the front row. Okay. Yeah. And yet I'll tell you what, God is still able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that you could ever ask or think. Have you asked him to go to work in your workplace? Some of you work in terrible places. Some of you go to work every day and say, dear God, why am I the only believer there? And I can tell you why already. You're the only believer there because God gave you that mission. You're the only one qualified to go to your workplace to reach your people for Christ, and God put you in a strategic spot and said, I'm using you. Now your challenge is to say, God, please, please, I know that you are able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that I could possibly ask or think. So, dear God, first of all, change me, make me a better worker, change my boss, change my coworkers. Because God is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that you ask or think. Are you starting to get the verse? Have you asked him to make you a better employee, to work in the life of your employer and the lives of fellow employees? Because sometimes workplace isn't fun. Have you asked him to enable you to dream big dreams for his kingdom? You know, the thing I love to do more than anything else is dream about what God can do. It's interesting, and I may make all of you nervous about your desire or your dream for the future, Roger. His dream is that one day within, I think you said 5 years, if I recall right, that this church would be a church of 300 people. So I just have a question for you. Do you think that's possible? Yeah, with God, all things are possible. And sometimes I think we look out at the end and we go, I'm not sure how we're going to get there. That's not our problem. Our problem is to say, God, would you get us there? And it's instead to say, I know who God is, and my God, the God of the Bible, the God of this world, the God who made us, created us from the foundations of the earth, is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that I could possibly ask or all that I could possibly think. This verse rots my socks, winds my watch, mashes my potatoes, buttons my buttons. So curious, have you asked God to stretch your imagination and use you for his glory? You for his glory. Because here's the deal, God wants to use you in his harvest. He does. He does. So ask God to stretch your imagination. Ask God to give you a heart for the lost. A soul that is sensitive, a faith that is secure, and a trust that exceeds human understanding. Ask God to use you, your family, your church, this church, to reach people for Jesus. My challenge to you this, take God at his word, ask him to stretch your imagination. Because this time you can say it with me. God is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we ask or all that we think. Closing story for you, and it doesn't mean there's another 30 minutes coming. That's another question I was asked. So when you say closing, does that mean there's another 30 minutes? And I better shut up or there will be. Craig Larson from Arlington Heights, Illinois, shares the following story. He writes, He says, on my desk, I like to display on a book stand the kind of gift books you put on a coffee table, those filled with professional photos of nature or tourist destinations. He said, my current book is called America's Spectacular National Parks. For several days, I've had the book open to a photo of the Grand Teton Mountains. An extra wide photo that filled not only the left page, but crossed the fold and took half of the page on the right. He said it's a majestic display of deep blue sky, rugged gray, snow-capped mountains, and a calm lake in the foreground. This morning, he said, I decided to turn the page to the next photo. And as I did, I discovered that I had missed something important. The right page of the Grand Tetons photo was an extra long page folded over, covering part of the Grand Tetons. So when I unfolded it or opened it up, it not only revealed what was covered, but added another 8 inches to the Grand Teton's photo. In other words, when I opened the fold, I added some 16 inches to the width of the photo. Wow! He said the Grand Tetons became even grander. And then he writes this. The Christian life has unfolding moments like that. When we discover there is much more to God and His kingdom than we knew. Much more to His purpose for us than we ever imagined. Abraham experienced that at the age of 75. Moses at the age of 80. The Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus. And so Phyllis for you at the age of 90. Again and again in the Bible, when God met people, He opened a glorious page for them that had previously been folded. Understand this. God wants to do something awesome in you and through you. He simply says, will you trust me? Will you ask me? Because God is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all you could ever ask or ever imagine. And that power, if you know Jesus Christ, is already at work within you. So ask God. God, do something big. And Lord, let me be part of it. Let's pray. Father, my prayer today is going to be twofold, and I do this every time I close in prayer. And Father, I would ask today if there's anyone here who does not know Jesus yet, may they know that they are missing out. Wow, are they missing out? This God of Scripture is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all we could ever ask or all that we could ever think. And He wants to work in you. And so may you understand in the silence of where you sit, you can utter a prayer and the God of heaven will hear. And you can simply say, Dear Jesus, today I want to place my faith in you. I want to accept you as my personal Savior. And may you know that at that instant, the Holy Spirit comes to live within you to change you from the inside out. He forgives you for those things that you say or think or do wrong. Those are things that we call sin. And you become one of His children. And He promises He'll be with you forever. And then, Lord, for those here already who know Jesus, Lord, whatever area it is that they struggle with, because life is filled with them, may they know that in that area they need to turn to God and say, God, today I ask that you would do exceeding, abundantly, beyond all that I can ask, all that I could ever imagine. According to the power that is at work within me. Lord, you tell us that great is your faithfulness. Your mercies, Lord, are new every morning. So strengthen us in our faith and stretch our imaginations. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.